From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Donald Trump recently signed an executive order on Medicare that was cast as a counter to the proposed Medicare for All Act of 2019, but was in fact a stealthy attempt at weakening the existing Medicare program that seniors rely on, promoting, quote, market-based pricing. Trump announced his plan at a raucous political-style rally in Florida amid signs that read, "Great healthcare for you." He repeatedly cast his plan as a bulwark against a Democratic-led socialist plot to take over America and triumphantly signed his order surrounded by smiling seniors. But what exactly has Trump proposed? Joining me to help answer that question is Wendell Potter, author and journalist who spent more than two decades in the health insurance industry at Humana and Cigna. He became a whistleblower in 2008 when he left Cigna and wrote the tell-all book Deadly Spin, an Insurance Company Insider, speaks out on how corporate PR is killing healthcare and deceiving Americans. Since then, he also wrote Obamacare, What's in It for Me, What Everyone Needs to Know About the Affordable Care Act, and Nation on the Take, How Big Money Corrupts Our Democracy and What We Can Do About It. Welcome to the program, Wendell.
Thank you, Sonali. Good to be back.
So let's first talk about exactly what it was that Trump's order does. The very first line in his order is that he basically says that the Medicare for All Act of 2019 isn't going to save Americans. So it sounds more like an attack on Medicare for All than a strengthening of Medicare.
Well, it's absolutely correct. He and those around him are very heavily influenced by the health insurance industry and other entrenched special interests in healthcare who want to perpetuate the status quo because it's very profitable for them. And health insurance companies in particular, they're very, very much supportive of Medicare Advantage plans, which is what the president is advocating and trying to steer more people into. And it is just a continuation of Republican policy over many years to try to privatize our current Medicare system and to try to throw a roadblock or erect barriers toward what I think is the most appropriate policy change, which is to get everyone enrolled in the traditional Medicare program, improve it and expand it to cover everybody. But of course, the president is opposed to that because that's what industry supports.
So this particular executive order, as you said, is trying to push more people into the Medicare Advantage program. Let's talk about what that is. Not everyone may know what Medicare Advantage is. As far as I understand, it's a sort of private-public collaboration on health insurance.
That's how the industry would like to. They always like to use the word public-private or private-public collaboration. What it is a scheme to privatize the healthcare system, and it's just that. And the industry has done an incredibly good job for them of getting people to enroll in Medicare Advantage plans. What they are, it's one way of putting it is a kind of the private alternative to the traditional Medicare program. It's heavily advertised by insurance companies that participate in the program years ago during the last George Bush administration and during the Medicare Modernization Act of, I think it was 2003. The Republicans in control of Washington at that point really made it lucrative for insurance companies to get into this market. And they figured out that this could be an enormous cash cow for them, and it has. The companies like I used to work for, Cigna and Humana, are heavily into Medicare Advantage plans now. United Healthcare is the biggest, but a lot of the Blue Cross plans and a whole lot of private insurance companies are seeing that they can make a lot of money on this. And they advertise heavily. The siren call is almost irresistible. A lot of people who are Medicare eligible fall for these advertisements, and I'm of the age now, in fact, I'm enrolled in traditional Medicare, but I am being bombarded with direct mail pieces and solicitations and other ways to get me to enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan. And they hold out the idea that you can do this without at no additional cost, and that you can get some additional benefits like vision and dental, and maybe even free gym memberships. So it sounds very compelling. What they don't tell you is that they operate just like any traditional private plan. You are subject to someone at the insurance company making a decision as to whether or not you'll get the care that you need when your doctor says you need it. They also, in many cases, limit your access to doctors and hospitals. So there are many downsides to the Medicare Advantage plans, but you would never hear that from the advertisements, of course. And they've been successful. About one third of Medicare beneficiaries are now enrolled in Medicare Advantage plans.
Wow. And, why would somebody enroll in such a plan if they already have Medicare?
Yeah, and even if you already have Medicare, these ads, these solicitations are very compelling because people think they're going to get more and not have to put out any more money. And they are never told what some of the downsides are. One of which is that if you enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan and you decide after a period of time you would prefer not to be and you'd like to disenroll, you can, but you might not be able to qualify for or be sold a Medicare supplement plan, which is different. It's a different kind of insurance product that helps to cover the out-of-pocket expenses of the traditional Medicare program. So there is that. People need to know that going into this, that you are cutting yourself off for some things that you might prefer to be eligible for and take advantage of later on. The other thing that I found out, in my old job, by the way, I used to be a champion, a cheerleader for Medicare Advantage plans because it's what my company wanted me to do.
So this is when you work in the health insurance industry?
Yes, I worked for Cigna and Humana before that, all together about 20 years. So I know how these companies operate, and I know how successful they are and how they go about reeling people into these plans. What people don't realize is that as you get older and you need specialized care, you might need skilled nursing care, for example, later in life, or maybe not so later in life, but you all too often will find that your options of providers is very, very limited. I'm confident that my mother is still alive today because I was able to disenroll her from a Medicare Advantage plan. She needed skilled nursing care, and her Medicare Advantage plan had very skimpy offerings. And I was able to get her in back into the traditional Medicare program, and she was able to get the care that she needs. Most people don't realize what they're giving up and how vulnerable they are to the way that private insurance companies operate. Here's something else that people need to know, is that these plans might offer coverage in your area this year, but next year they may decide that operating a plan in your town or your county or even your state is not profitable anymore. So they'll just pull up stakes and leave you high and dry and leave you scrambling to find something else. So I would never encourage anyone to enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan. They're just too risky, and they come with all that we hate about private insurance plans.
Now, I understand that the government itself has plenty of evidence of how Medicare Advantage does not work well and has actually taken advantage of and exploited seniors, that they've been audited by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid and Medicare, and they have, you know, been found to have not turned over proper data. So here is Trump promoting this program that his own government agencies have found to be problematic. Specifically, what does his resolution that he signed, this executive order rather, that he signed, do for Medicare Advantage? How does he promote it?
Well, he's promoting it as superior to the traditional Medicare program. There's that, and it is certainly not. But keep in mind that he and those around him are kind of hell-bent on privatizing the existing Medicare program. He's enabling these plans to offer some other things that they haven't in the past. been able to offer, and that frankly the traditional Medicare program is not offering because it just hasn't been considered cost effective, or they haven't done the appropriate analysis to make it a covered benefit under the traditional Medicare program. For example, some Medicare Advantage plans will be able to offer coverage for transportation to a doctor, to and from a doctor's office, or something like that. That's good, and that should be available in the traditional Medicare program. But he's giving an advantage to the private companies to offer that, and the traditional Medicare program cannot do it.
And I'm assuming that he's giving them that advantage at taxpayer expense?
Yes, at taxpayer's expense. I'm glad you mentioned that, because over the course of the years, the federal government has been overpaying these private insurance companies to participate in the Medicare Advantage plans. When I said it's a cash cow, if you look at the revenues of these companies now, the big ones are now getting most of their revenue now from the federal government, or from state and federal governments, not from the private sector. So they've been able to figure out how to take taxpayer money and funnel bits of it into their executives' pockets, into the pockets of shareholders. We've been overpaying these companies. There's abundant evidence of that. In fact, during the debate on what became the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, lawmakers were trying to curtail some of that profiteering, some of that excess money that's going to insurance companies. And they succeeded to a certain extent, but not enough. We taxpayers are subsidizing, we're shoveling lots of money into these private insurance companies to participate in this program that we should be outraged about. But to your point, the administration has been hiding a lot of data and information available or readily available. In fact, reporters at Kaiser Family Foundation have filed a FOIA request and are actually suing to try to get the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to release the reports and the data that will actually reveal all of this corruption and excess payments to private insurance companies.
Let's actually watch Trump sell his executive order in Florida at this rally that, you know, was not meant to actually be a political campaign rally, but he turned it into one because that's just what he does. Here's a short clip of how Trump sold this to the audience of supporters.
As long as I'm president, no one will lay a hand on your Medicare benefits, and that's what we're here to do today. This order is the latest step in my administration's drive to ensure the world's best health care for all Americans. Together, we're creating a health care system that protects vulnerable patients, makes health care more affordable, gives you more choice and control, and delivers the high-quality care Americans deserve. As we gather this afternoon, Medicare is under threat like never before. You know that. You have people that are running for office that have ever happened. You will not be very happy here. Almost every major Democrat in Washington has backed a massive government health care takeover that would totally obliterate Medicare. They'll say it's terrible. One of these people gets in, your 401ks are going to hell. The stock market's going to hell. Frankly, I think, and I hate to say it, the country's going to go to hell.
And that is President Trump talking about how the country is going to go to hell because if a Democrat were to take over, slipping seamlessly from talking about Medicare to the 2020 election. A number of things that he said, Wendell, that I'd love for you to respond to. First, he said, as long as I'm president, no one will lay a hand on your Medicare benefits. And it's really interesting to hear him and other presidents who denounce Medicare for All somehow separate the Medicare program completely from it and cast that as perfectly normal, but Medicare for All as a nefarious socialist plot. And he said Medicare is under threat because there's a massive government, a plan to have a massive government takeover that would obliterate Medicare. So first, how does he manage to pull the wool over the eyes of people who are part of this existing socialist program called Medicare and convince them that Medicare for All is completely different from it?
Because he has plenty of help and support from the health insurance industry. The talking points he used there, my colleagues, I'm sure, helped him write those remarks because they want to keep this cash cow alive and well, this being the Medicare Advantage program. And he's lying to the American public. The traditional Medicare program that was created in the mid-60s is far more popular than private insurance companies. Every survey shows that. So people are much happier. I've talked to so many people, Sonali, over the years who've told me they've been counting the days until they could get rid of their private insurance plan and enroll in traditional Medicare, or that they couldn't get coverage at any price because of the high cost of private insurance. So there is that. But in my old job, I used to persuade people that these were just great. These were the plans they should enroll in. And we've done it. My former colleagues have done a tremendous job of conflating Medicare with Medicare Advantage plans. And I'd like the president to lie and say that the Medicare program is under some kind of threat from the Democrats. It's just not true. We used to, by the way, and I'm sure this probably went on in Florida, we in the industry would pay for people who were enrolled in Medicare Advantage plans that we could convince to be spokespeople for Medicare Advantage plans. We'd pay for their plane tickets to Washington to go on Capitol Hill and lobby for them. We used to call them granny fly-ins. I swear we did.
Wow.
And that's how you get people to be your foot soldiers, and people are just completely unaware of how they're being used. And a lot of people certainly get along well in managed care and Medicare Advantage plans. It is when you get critically ill or injured and need skilled nursing care, for example, that you find out that you've made a huge mistake.
So the Medicare program is something that he is claiming he wants to protect at all costs, but the idea of expanding that program to everyone is a nefarious socialist plot that's going to destroy America, obliterate Medicare as it exists. And essentially, you know, he went as far as talking about ruining the economy and causing a market crash. I suppose in his mind, it would be the worst possible thing. So it sounds as though Trump has seen fit to use this executive order to fulfill two goals simultaneously, a political goal of slamming his opponents as evil socialists who want to take away people's Medicare plans, and achieving the corporate giveaway to the health insurance companies that want to expand Medicare Advantage. So that's basically, those seem to be his two objectives here.
It is. It is corporate socialism or corporate welfare. It is the exact opposite of what we as a country need. It is shoveling more taxpayer dollars into these big insurance companies, and we're all paying a very steep price for it. There is a plot. It is not a socialist plot. It is a plot that he is a part of and is a willing participant in, of helping insurance companies enrich their shareholders and get more and more people snookered into signing up for these plans.
It's not a socialist plot, it's a capitalist plot, let's just say.
it is a capitalist plot. And it is a plot, again, to enrich people, a few people, at the expense of the many. And, you know, I know how they are using terms like government-run healthcare and socialized medicine and things like that. They've used those terms over many decades to scare people. I think, though, that we're seeing that the country is not buying it like they once did. They're not falling for this fear-mongering that we've seen over the years. And we're seeing the evidence of that, of the broad support that both Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, for example, are receiving from voters, and they are unabashedly supportive of Medicare for all. It's going to be important for them as candidates and for those of us who are advocates for reform to make a compelling case to counter that spin and those lies from people like President Trump and those who are supporting him with their campaign contributions. And they are the private insurance companies.
So I'm wondering if this election season has been a really great opportunity for advocates of Medicare for All to talk about this issue, because time and again, especially in recent election cycles, healthcare has been among the top issues, if not the top issue of concern to Americans. So they can hear Trump saying one thing, but of course, when it comes to their own personal experience with the health insurance industry, they see the reality of that. And of course, there's always going to be the section of the American electorate that accepts the cognitive dissonance of seeing one thing and believing another thing that's directly contradictory. But Americans' own personal experiences seem to indicate to them that that Trump is lying, and that the detractors of Medicare for All are lying. What about state level approaches? Because, you know, we can be on the defensive against attacks on Medicare for All, but in some states, Democrats are in power, states like my state here in California, and could actually launch an offensive and start to pursue a state version of Medicare for All. Is that happening?
Yes, it is happening, and I've spent a lot of time in your state. I know a lot of the advocates in California who've been active for quite a long time, pushing elected officials to implement a state-based single-payer or Medicare for All type of system. And your governor campaigned on this as being supportive. The problem is that also a lot of Democrats, even though you have a supermajority in California in the legislature, also take campaign contributions, many of them from insurance industry, the insurance industry and drug companies and organized medicine. So they're, and they can be a stumbling block. So even though you have a supermajority of Democrats and a governor who campaigned on it, the path forward is not easy because of the influence of the insurance industry and its allies. But it can be the path forward. It may be that California leads the nation by establishing the country's first single-payer healthcare system. Other states are doing the same thing. I travel around the country all the time, and I talk to advocates who are engaged in similar efforts in other states. On the West Coast, in Oregon and Washington, for example, there are those who are trying to achieve the same outcome, as well as here on the East Coast. So there's a lot of activity in the states. I often say I don't know when we're going to get Medicare for All in this country, but it's not a matter of if, it is a matter of when. And I don't know if it's going to happen through Washington or in Washington, or the state capital is going to happen.
And I'm wondering, finally, Wendell, if you saw the message by Bernie Sanders, who has been one of the most, at least probably Congress's strongest supporter of Medicare for All, who, when he recently suffered a heart attack, took the time to mention that he had excellent medical care and wished all Americans could. I thought it was really important for him to link his own personal experience to highlight the need for Medicare for All.
And I'm glad that he did. And interestingly, I was with Senator Sanders just the day before his heart attack.
Really?
In New Hampshire. He had convened a group of small business owners in Manchester, New Hampshire, and I was invited to be a part of that because one of the organizations I lead is called Business for Medicare for All. We make the economic and business case for Medicare for All. And he called on me to talk at that forum. And I was talking about how businesses in particular, it's not just regular folks like you and me and others. It is those who employ us, who create jobs. They're struggling to offer benefits to their workers. And in many cases, they cannot do it because of the high cost of health insurance. And he more than anyone else has made this something that people are talking about and supporting. We owe a huge debt of gratitude to Senator Sanders for his campaign in 2016, when he campaigned then on this. And that has, that was, that, that, that started a sea change in conversation. It made it suddenly possible for people to think that this could happen. And he he is steadfast in that. And so I am so grateful that he is, that he said that about his own health care. And he's right. Every one of us should have access to the care that he had and not have to worry about how you're going to pay for it and worry about, in many cases, having to file for bankruptcy because of medical bills.
Wendell, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and helping to understand what it was that Trump has done on his executive order on Medicare. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Wendell Potter, author and journalist who spent more than two decades in the health insurance industry, and he's written several books. We've been discussing Trump's latest stealth attack on Medicare. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.